This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Talk Live, talk radio that you control. Take control of the airwaves, 855-453, as in freedom. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And Ian.
And a new report from the AP. Surprisingly, children are losing basic skills while under the coronavirus restrictions. The reason this surprises me is because you very rarely hear anything in the mainstream media about the horrific downsides of these lockdowns,
like suicides,
the drug addictions, the domestic abuse increases. But here, evidently, children are losing some extremely basic skills. According to the AP, some young children have forgotten how to eat with a knife and fork, which to me is odd because I never used a knife at school when I was eating, and I just don't understand the connection between these two things. It seems like the most of your eating with a knife and fork is going to take place at home, because you're not eating steaks at the school cafeteria.
Did this specify that it was at school?
It did not.
Okay.
Maybe it's at restaurants. Maybe the only time children use forks and knives are at restaurants. I don't know.
I don't know what kind of family you had in Mississippi or whatever, but we had a knife and fork every night when I ate at home. Like, that was just standard table settings. You'd have a knife and fork, and that was
I mean,
was
we
like
did if there was going to be some sort of
spoon?
Meat that required a knife. I mean, we wouldn't have a spoon out if we weren't going to eat anything that was a liquid, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but usually there was enough variety to where you would have you would use a knife and fork and a spoon often enough to where you'd retain. What I don't understand here is why, you know, you're still eating during the pandemic, so-called pandemic.
Well, they're eating pizza.
That's, is that the problem?
That would be my speculation based on personal experience.
Pizza and hamburgers or something like that, all finger food?
That would be my guess, yes.
Okay.
They're not eating.
The parents are so lazy. And I don't cook my own food either, okay? So I'm like, I'm totally guilty.
I don't either,
guilty.
But I'm not feeding this crap to a kid.
But that said,
and
like,
I eat good even though I don't cook it.
That said, even though I go out and you know, we go out and we'll get to Jamaican food or something like that, I'm almost always eating it with a knife and fork. So it must be all finger food that these kids' parents are buying them. Otherwise, how could they possibly lose that skill? It's a daily thing that you do.
That's an excellent point. It has to just be finger food.
Yes.
Sandwiches.
There's no other explanation
hot dogs, that
for
kind
it.
Of crap. Yeah. So others. Oh, it gets worse. Others have regressed back into diapers.
What?
Is this
for real? This is a real AP story.
It is, from the APnews.com.
Wow.
Evidently, I imagine that's got to be the younger ones, right? Like maybe 3 or 4 years old that are regressing back into diapers and not like 8 year olds?
I don't even understand how that can happen. Like normally when you're a kid.
Mental
you know,
regression from lack of stimulus, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I hope they talk to some expert here at some point to explain how this can happen, because normally, at least my recollection, now I don't have a detailed memory of this, but isn't it generally the case that it's like, hey, you're a big boy now, you didn't have to, like, have mommy help you or daddy help you with going to the bathroom or whatever, you got it done all on your own, son or daughter. Good job. You know, here's a gold star. We'll take you out to dinner, or you can get some dessert or whatever, some sort of reward. There's the reward of you did it yourself, the pride in being able to do that yourself. How could you possibly regress back to that and be like, Mom, I just want to pee my diaper again. Can you just get me a diaper again? Like, what? How does that even happen?
Maybe it's another failure of the parents who, as we suspect, are so lazy that they're just feeding their kids finger foods now.
So they're just slapping diapers on the kids. They're like, we don't want to get off the couch, so here you go.
Yeah, I don't know how else that could. Because the parents are buying the diapers, right?
I presume they're not making them.
You would imagine the first time that your fully toilet-trained child use the bathroom in their clothing, that you would, you know,
stop buying diapers, yes, number one.
And you would address that with them instead of just going, okay, well, I don't want to deal with this. Here, put some diapers back on. But that was the choice that these parents clearly deliberately made. That's the only way that a child can regress back to diapers.
Right. The child would have to accept what the parent was doing to it, right? Yeah. So, like, and I mean, children are, I'm sure plenty of them are obedient or whatever. I guess my nature is to not be obedient. I was kind of born, I feel like I was born that way, like as far back as I can remember.
I don't know if I was born that way, but certainly from like the age of 6 or 7.
I was obedient to my parents, but not to so-called authorities outside of them. So, like, I was never, my parents and I got along pretty well, but when it came to school, I never like doing what I was told to do. And
I did up until the second grade, maybe the third. And at that point, I was like, okay, this is stupid, and this is a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that I would be insulted if my parents wanted to put me back in diapers. Be like, no thanks, I like doing it myself, you know?
Well, I would imagine that the kid was already soiling themselves before the parents resorted to this measure. But instead of trying to deal with that in a healthy and productive way, they were just like, okay, here, just put these on. That's pure speculation based on this one sentence that we read, but how else does something like this even happen?
It's mind-boggling.
The Office for Standards in Education, Children's Services, and Skills, known as OPSTED, published 5 reports based on findings from more than 900 visits to education and social care providers across England since September. Some of the children most affected by the disruption of the pandemic were those in their earliest years of education with working parents who, quote, experienced the double whammy of less time with parents and less time with other children, said Amanda Spielman. So evidently it is a failure of the parents relying too much on other children and the school systems to complete raising their children for them. Because, you know, they didn't consider the fact that, you know, having a child was going to be what they needed to dedicate their lives to for the rest of their lives.
Time on that thing.
Yeah. Instead, the child just reached, you know, 5, 6 years old. They sent them all to school, and they're like, all right, we're done here. The school's got it now.
Right. Put them in the school, put them in front of a TV for the rest of the time, and that's it. You're good.
She said that teachers reported that some toilet trade students needing to use diapers again and others who had forgotten some basic skills they had mastered, such as eating with a knife and fork, not to mention the loss of early progress in words and numbers. Well, this was inevitable. When you take children out of kindergarten, they're going to forget some things, like numbers and letters. Among older children, some had fallen behind in math, struggled with literacy and concentration, or lost physical fitness, the report said. Others showed signs of mental distress, which showed up in increased eating disorders and self-harm.
Oh, this is just wonderful. I mean,
this is what
really
we said 6 months ago was going to happen as a result of this crap. While most children,
but at least they didn't catch the flu.
Thank God for that.
They're cutting themselves and, like, you know.
They're cutting for themselves and they're getting fat and they're peeing themselves. But you know what? They didn't catch the flu.
Right.
While most children have lost ground in their learning to various degrees since March, some have coped well because they spent quality time with parents and caregivers, Spielman said. So again, it comes back to the lack of parents in their lives. Schools and child care settings were closed to most children in March as the coronavirus pandemic first hit Britain. Since September, all children in England have attended in-person classes. Schools and universities were allowed to stay open under a new lockdown in England that started last week. However, officials in Wales, which has often imposed stricter COVID-19 restrictions compared to the rest of England, announced Tuesday that crucial exams for secondary school students will be cancelled for 2021 amid ongoing school disruptions caused by the pandemic. So they're frustrated, it would seem, that their children are getting more and more stupid and less educated, and their solution to that is just, we're just going to cancel testing. That'll fix it. Instead of addressing the issue that caused children to revert to peeing on themselves, slitting their wrists, and being out of shape, and forgetting how to use forks and knives, all of that aside, let's just not test them anymore. Let's just not look at the problem anymore.
I mean, testing is overrated anyway.
Well, sure, but that's how you find out that, you know, these children suck at math now. They can't add 2 and 6 together like they could 6 months ago. So, I mean, testing, it's useful to find a person's level of competence, maybe. But, yeah, so that's what's happening. The coronavirus pandemic, the lockdowns that resulted from it, they've made children pee on themselves.
It's going to get worse, too, because now they're saying, oh, well, winter's coming and, you know, bad, more transmissions, etc. Beware.
Yeah.
They're preparing people for even more lockdowns.
The third wave, 855-453, as in free of freedom.
She's a purebred, orange and white, Brittany. But when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out. DINOVITE.com. So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
Dynavite. She's little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Got shaving irritation? Shave Secret Shaving Oil can help stop it. Shave Secret doesn't cost much and is an all-American product. My name is Chuck Howard, and I developed Shave Secret and pioneered its use starting back in 1991. Ingrown hairs drove me nuts for years. Shaving oil changed all that. Why put up with ingrown hair bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts? Shave Secret provides men and women with what we believe is the best shave ever. Our proprietary blend of 100% natural base and essential oils plus a hint of menthol was designed to help eliminate shaving irritations like ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. We'll lose those shaving irritations. Available at Super Walmart, H-E-B, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Discount Drug, Navy and Marine Exchanges, Amazon, and ShaveSecret.com. Use the code FTL for Free Talk Live and get a discount. Shave Secret, the best shave ever.
Having taken her anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, as in Freedom's Phoenix, which is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. Do you want the newest and freshest stories and perspective on current events from those who value liberty? FreedomsPhoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, FreedomsPhoenix.com. Awesome news aggregation site. So, addiction to cryptocurrency. I don't know how to even introduce this because I haven't even looked at the article. I have no idea what they're suggesting here. How can a person be addicted to cryptocurrency?
Well, I mean, isn't it obvious in the same way that you could be addicted to playing video games or addicted to, you know, eating ice cream or addicted to the gym or whatever? Some of these things are more positive addictions than others, right? If you're addicted to the gym, well, you're probably just going to be in shape. If you're addicted to ice cream, you're probably not going to be in shape. But, you know, whatever.
So they get some sort of dopamine rush from doing something with cryptocurrency?
Yeah, of course. And of course, it could be a rush, like, you know, having a successful trade or whatever, or
sure,
seeing your value of the things that you have going up. And let me get into it, because it's a deep, in-depth story from Coindesk.com, which is one of the big crypto news sites. SBF is a Wall Street trader turned crypto trader turned CEO of FTX, a crypto derivatives exchange, which describes itself as built by traders for traders. He's always at his desk is not a figure of speech. SBF literally lives in the office, mainlining work, sometimes sleeping on a nearby bed, and sometimes sleeping under his desk. A recent photo on Twitter shows
this
him...
This dude definitely has an issue.
Slumped over between two beanbag chairs, eyes shut, with the caption, quote, a rare photo of SBF underscore Alameda, which is, I guess, his Twitter handle, when he, quote, goes home, unquote, to sleep. SBF is happy to chat at 3:30 a.m. Time doesn't mean the same to him as it does the rest of us. The crypto markets are open 24/7, and therefore, he's on call 24/7. This time works, he cheerily assures me. I can hear the clacking of his keyboard through our call, and I'm guessing this has something to do with the price of Bitcoin plunging $1,000 in the past 48 hours. Note, this was written in early September before the recent run-up.
Oh, I bet he's super busy now, whatever in the hell a cryptocurrency derivatives exchange does.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's been pretty busy, he calmly says, but I mean, so many days have been busy at this point that, you know, unquote, it's not his first rodeo, says CoinDesk. When he worked on Wall Street, his eyes were glued to the screen from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. He acknowledges the nonstop cycle of crypto is, quote, one of the exciting but brutal parts of the industry, unquote. Considers it a necessary sacrifice, he does.
No, dude, what the price of crypto does between the hours that I'm sleeping and the hours that I'm drunk is between everyone else and crypto. Nothing to
not
do with
yet.
Me. I will deal with it when I wake up and not before yep. then.
Sudden price movements could trigger opportunities, headaches, or financial fires that must be snuffed. SPF has six monitors at his desk. His eyes flick to check the prices and charts, quote, every couple of minutes, sometimes much more frequently, unquote. Is he addicted to crypto? Are you? Am I?
Well, he's definitely 100%. I mean, if we establish addiction or a harmful addiction mm-hmm. baseline as being, yeah. you know, something that causes you to sacrifice all other aspects of your life,
like your relationship, yeah. like your health, your sleep.
Then this guy has certainly crossed that threshold.
I'm addicted to crypto is almost a cliche in the blockchain space. Nearly everyone talks about falling down the rabbit hole and becoming so obsessed they cancel plans with friends so they can listen to crypto podcasts, binge watch crypto YouTube videos, and even devour crypto white papers.
Who the heck? Does this happen?
Apparently. It almost feels like a rite of passage. You don't really get crypto until you live it, breathe it, can't shut up about it. Until you annoy all of your friends with your new hobby. And
this is probably from someone who has never actually spent cryptocurrency to buy something, by the way, so let's keep that in mind.
And you struggle to explain it, and they can't quite understand it, but you assure your friends, you just know that it will change the world.
Well, see, that's the problem. Crypto is not hard to explain. It's digital money, just like PayPal, just like Cash App. People already innately understand digital money.
Well, you can oversimplify it like that.
Well, sure, but they understand it.
That doesn't explain it. Right?
Well, no, they don't need to read the Bitcoin white paper.
I've never read it.
I don't know if I have.
I've never done it. People talk about how great of a read it is, and it's like, well, I've never done it.
I know I perused it
because
I used to run a website called CryptoCheck where we looked at crap coins and we looked at cryptocurrencies and we assessed whether or not they were likely to be scam coins or crap coins. And that involved, you know, reading their white papers in the rare event that they actually gave a white paper, But the Bitcoin one was the gold standard that we used. I don't know if I ever actually read it, but the format of it was very important because it was a technical document.
Right, which is why I didn't want to read it.
But the white papers that are being put forward by, like, DeFi Coin and what is the other one I can't think of off the top of my head? I don't know. AirSwap token. They're not technical documents. Mm-hmm. They're PowerPoint presentations. They're brochures. They're sales pitches. Yeah. And that was the number one distinguishing factor between, is this a crap coin or is this a legitimate token, cryptocurrency?
Then there's the other kind of crypto addiction, a more specific flavor that has to do with checking the price. Some call it the itch. I first felt the itch on the island paradise of Bali in January of 2018 when I met and wrote about an unlikely group of crypto traders. These were happy days for Bitcoin bulls. Most had just made a ton of money, at least on paper, as the Bitcoin price exploded from $1,000 to $20,000 in less than a year. Some quit their jobs to trade crypto full time. So like any good journalist, I bought some crypto in the name of research. First, I bought $10 worth of Bitcoin, just to get familiar with keys and wallets. I soon forgot about it. Later, to better understand the Bali trader's obsession, I plunked down $200 and bought some Ethereum and a few other altcoins. Half the fun was chatting, joking, and arguing about my new crypto or with my new crypto buddies about what alts to buy. It felt like a mix of the stock market, gambling, and fantasy football. Then I put in some more. The price went up and I felt good. Then a little more. The price went down, so I bought a little more to BTFD. I guess that's buy the effing dip. Rinse and repeat. I didn't buy so much that I would be in financial trouble if Bitcoin crashed and went to zero, but I did buy enough that whenever I opened my new favorite app, Blockfolio, I would feel a jolt of pleasure or a queasy stab of regret. I needed to scratch the itch. Maybe I didn't sleep under a desk like the other guy, but I checked Blockfolio as soon as I woke up in the morning, even before Twitter, before Tinder. I checked it before I went to sleep. I checked it I checked it at 3 a.m. when I woke up to use the bathroom, and I checked it throughout the day. This behavior wasn't logical. It served no purpose, and I knew it served no purpose. I had planned to hold, or he writes, hodl, and there was no scenario where I would buy or sell, regardless of the price. My behavior made less sense than the always vigilant price checking of crypto traders like SBF, who had good reason to pounce on volatility. In fact, it made no sense, yet I kept scratching the itch. And I know I'm not alone. Hard data is elusive, but nearly everyone I've spoken to who has purchased cryptocurrency in any meaningful amount, more than, say, $10, confesses that they check the price more frequently than they should. The temptation is irresistible.
I check, like, once a day. And, I mean, I'm heavily involved in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency at this point. But, like, when I flip over, I have a widget on my phone that tells me the price. I just flip over, I see what it is, and I go, okay, that's where we're starting at.
It's there on my home screen, so I see it fairly often.
But it's not like you're actively checking it. Well, I guess maybe you are.
It's just there. It's just there.
Yeah.
So
you got to put something that is useful.
Yeah, I don't like think about checking the price during the day, but I see it often enough.
Are you addicted to crypto? Do you want to be 855-450-FREE?
News from news.bitcoin.com. A 1 million-ounce gold find in Russia raises questions if Bitcoin is more rare than gold. The Bitcoin market is expected to be volatile until the end of the year. Study shows that half of U.S. investors interested in adding Bitcoin to their portfolio. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BainBooks.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
With news that Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine appears to be at least 90% effective in preventing infections, there have been many follow-up questions about a timeline for the vaccine's availability. Dr. Anthony Fauci believes it could be available for all Americans by next April. He tells CNN that while there remains many logistical challenges to wide distribution of a vaccine that must be stored at freezing temperatures and requires two doses, those challenges have been anticipated.
The logistic or supply chain agenda led by General Gus Perna. And that's what he's been spending literally every minute of every day on, making sure that doesn't become an obstacle. It becomes a surmountable challenge. And I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, to say it's going to be easy would not be truthful. It's going to be a challenge, but I believe we're going to be able to do it.
The Pfizer vaccine remains in stage 3 trials, and more data on its effectiveness is expected by the end of the month. This is USA Radio News. Senator Tom Tillis has won re-election in North Carolina, holding on to a Republican seat that Democrats were hoping to flip in order to retake control of the Senate. Tillis's Democratic challenger, Cal Cunningham, conceded the race Tuesday while trailing the senator about 90,000 votes, with 97% counted. Tillis's win gives Republicans 49 seats in the Senate, with Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan leading his challenger. The two January runoff elections in Georgia will ultimately decide which party controls the Senate. Tropical Storm Eta continues to drop rain on western Cuba and southern Florida while sitting in the Gulf of Mexico. And overnight, a record-breaking storm formed in the Atlantic. Tropical Storm Theta is out in the central Atlantic, tracking towards Europe, and has no chance of hitting the United States. But it becomes the 30th named storm of the season, making this the most active hurricane season in history. That record still has a chance to increase as well, with the tropical disturbance forming to the south of Puerto Rico. The National Weather Service says that currently has a 20% chance of forming into a tropical storm. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind at 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And it's Ian.
And us being cryptocurrency addicts, evidently, just spent most of the break talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and their values in relation to Bitcoin. So.
I don't know if I... See, this is the interesting question that this really brings up, is, are we cryptocurrency addicts? Because part of what we do with our church mission, at least that's my mission, I think you have a similar mission over at the Reformed Satanic Church, is to propagate the idea of cryptocurrency to help people acquire and understand it for the goal of undermining the status quo, undermining the money system, undermining the state, the banks, so we can
100%.
Have more peace. To me, it's a tool for peace, and so it's part of my church mission. So it's not just like I'm somebody who's got, you know, $50 worth of crypto or $500 or $5,000 or whatever, and I'm just constantly checking, or I'm obsessed with trading. I don't do trading, right? Like, I wouldn't begin to try to predict what the market's going to do. I think that's a crazy thing, and so I don't spend time on that. But I run a couple of Bitcoin vending machines, and that requires my attention in, you know, certain ways. Like, I got a guy bought some Monero two nights ago. I just re-enabled Monero at some of the Bitcoin vending machines, or now cryptocurrency.
I didn't
machines.
Know that any of them had Monero on offer.
They had them, and then I took them down due to Kraken closing
that.
Accounts and making life difficult on us. And I've just decided at this point, I've decided that even though I can't automate the process because I don't have Kraken anymore, they banned me, they banned you, they banned my ex-girlfriend.
Well, they banned the Reformed Satanic Church. But the account is still there. I can log into
it. That is really weird.
Can you still log into your church account?
I don't think so. I haven't tried. I don't think so.
One of these days, I'm going to get bored enough and just wire $100 to them to see what happens.
But anyway, what happened was...
I still have my personal account there.
So, we haven't been able to re-automate the thing, so I have to go and manually repurchase the crypto that somebody buys from the machine. So it's more of a human process than I would like it to be, which means it takes my time. And so somebody bought some Monero, but it didn't get delivered to his wallet. So he contacted me the next day saying, hey, you know, it's been X amount of hours and, you know, I haven't seen this Monero yet. So we looked into it and it turned out that the node that we had needed to be upgraded. So it had basically halted a couple of weeks ago. So I hadn't had Monero for sale for a while.
Right.
So he hadn't updated the thing or whatever. Just it got overlooked. And so we updated it. And then, you know, 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. yesterday, I'm helping this guy. I had to make things right with the customer.
Of course.
So it took me a significant amount of time. I wouldn't call that an addiction. That's work, right?
No. Yeah, I would agree that's work. You've got to please the customer. I mean, if you're running a business, I don't want to use the term business here, but if you're doing something that I guess is business-like, I mean, it's important to leave people with a good impression.
Right. So let's
continue. More than willing to help people with something at 3 o'clock in the morning. That doesn't mean I'm addicted. That just happens to be when I'm active and when I'm usually free to help someone with something.
Right. And when it becomes an addiction is when it's harming other things. And I don't think I don't have that problem, right? Like, I can do plenty of other things. And going on. So they're talking about the people who are constantly checking the price. And they say here, this addiction isn't always harmless. Take the case of Justice Gash, a 30-year-old who lives in rural Oregon. He first dabbled with crypto in 2016, spending around $250 on Bitcoin. At first, he only checked the price occasionally. It wasn't a big deal. Then he cultivated another hobby, gambling. Oregon has slot machines in bars. In 2017, says Gash, quote, something switched, unquote, inside of him. His casual gambling morphed into compulsive gambling, and he eventually racked up an ocean of debt. He soon craved variety. He said, I was looking for alternatives to slot machines, and I got really into crypto. He says he began mining Ethereum and other altcoins and taught himself how to trade. Added bonus.
What year was this?
2017.
Mining Ethereum in 2017 is pretty impressive.
He began teaching himself how to trade, and as a bonus, he'd recently earned a promotion at work, a $10 an hour raise that elevated him from the factory floor to CAD design, where he now sat in front of a computer. It was a big promotion, a big step up, and he was excited. He said, all day at work, now I could use computers freely. And he spent many of those hours staring at crypto charts. Gash had already lost much of his money to gambling, and now he hoped that trading crypto could fuel a financial comeback. Quote, my plan was to try to fix... To try and fix my gambling debts using
with
crypto.
More gambling.
Yeah.
Crypto's not at fault here.
Yeah, this is a bad plan, dude. Using crypto speculation, but all it did was keep my gambling addiction alive and eventually led to a greater gambling addiction, he said.
Shocking.
One day, while checking the charts at work, he scored a 100x trade. 100x! He felt good. 100x. The trade itself wasn't even that big. He guesses he only made around $120. But the rush was real. And so were the consequences. On the day of that 100x trade, his boss caught him staring at the crypto charts. The boss said, that doesn't look like your work. What are you doing? And his boss did not forget. At Gash's next performance review, the crypto incident came up, the review went poorly, and Gash now says, it cost me my job. Technically,
crypto didn't, though. Your gambling addiction did.
But he was trying to. But he became addicted to crypto because he wanted to keep fueling his gambling addiction. Either way, that's an example of if you start doing the things that are your hobby at your job and your work performance suffers, you are addicted to those things, right? You can't
put down
whether it's crypto or whether it's porn, a porn addiction or whatever it is you're doing. If you're doing it while you're supposed to be doing something else, you're probably addicted. So, going on here, the performance review didn't get him fired technically, but the taste was so bitter, he decided to quit and cash out his 401k on an epic gambling binge. Yes, that's right. He took $20,000 out of his 401k. Quote, it ruined my life, he says. After the four-day binge.
It didn't do anything to you. You ruined your life,
dude.
Yeah,
you got to own it. Gash finally checked into a gambling treatment center. A musician on the side.
Finally.
He sold his guitars to help cover the losses. He estimates he lost over $70,000 from gambling in a 2-year span. He says he didn't lose as much on crypto because he didn't have as much he'd already lost at gambling. He moved in with his parents, who began to sense his crypto addiction was just another type of gambling. His parents told him, quote, "I don't ever want to hear about crypto," unquote. Gash has a hard time separating the two. He says, "When I first got into cryptocurrency, I didn't see it as gambling, but eventually he changed his tune." He says, quote, "Crypto is presented in such a way where it doesn't look or feel like gambling, but it's the same rush. It's the same mechanism," unquote. And it's definitely a gamble.
Sure.
I mean, as far as most of the cryptocurrencies out there, 99.99% of them are pure speculation. We have no idea if Polkadot is ever going to be a thing, which is one of the newer crazes that just came out over the summertime. We don't know, of all these DeFi tokens, which ones are going to be the ones that actually end up being these spectacular plans. We don't know which initial coin offerings are going to be, you know, spectacular ideas.
AirSwap token, there's Orange Coin, there's Hemp Coin, there's Canna Coin, there's Pot Token.
There's thousands of them. You might as well just throw something up against the dartboard and see what sticks, because no one really knows. Yeah. I mean, the technology could be fantastic behind 90% of these things, but only some of it's ever going to catch on. I mean, even between Beta and VHS back in the 1980s, there was an argument that Beta was the technically superior format. However, it lost
to
VHS.
That's true right now between Monero and Bitcoin. Or between Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin. Both of them are superior technically to Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is handily crushing them both. And it's frustrating to someone who cares about the technology underpinning these things, but that's just how it goes sometimes.
So there is a study apparently between problem gamblers and crypto trading. They found that gamblers who invested in high-risk stocks and crypto reported higher levels of depression and anxiety than the other groups, but the study's co-author cautions against drawing too many conclusions. She says, this was an online sample of participants who tend to have higher levels of problem behaviors, and she said it's also uncertain the link between crypto investing and depression / anxiety is causation or correlation. Do people who have anxiety or depression look for the high that comes from action trading in crypto and high-risk stocks fulfill that need, or do the ups and downs of crypto and high-risk stock trading contribute to changes in mood? More research is needed.
I mean, if people really want to gamble, I wouldn't recommend putting money in any real form into any of these obscure cryptocurrencies. Instead, just mine them, mine a few dozen of them, and see how it goes. 855-450-3733, 855-453, as in freedom.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation to supporting detoxification, to stabilization of blood sugar, and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowway.com. greenmeadowway.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. If you're quick, you can still get on the air with us. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. And with you tonight, it's Aria and Ian. And I want to say thank you to Bradley Hunt, who is tonight's amplifier. This means he's a member of the AMP program. You can find more about it at amp.freetalklive.com. Basically, it means that Bradley is helping us get on more radio stations. He's helping us spread the ideas of liberty to more people. Contributing to the AMP program is the best way to help us do that because AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. All the money there is strictly used to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. So if you like the show, if you like what we're doing, and you want to help us get on more radio stations, the AMP program is the best way to do it. Bradley, thank you so much. We hope you continue amping the show. amp.freetalklive.com. You can find out more about it there. You can even donate with cryptocurrency. Speaking of cryptocurrency, are you addicted? That's the topic at hand. It doesn't seem to be that Ian and I are addicted. I think there may have been a period when local.bitcoin.com first launched, and I was very active on it. I may have qualified as being addicted at some of those points because I would just every few minutes go back there to check my phone to respond to a trade. But I was getting.
Yeah, but you're doing work.
But it
is possible to be addicted to doing work.
Well, I was doing work while at work. And this wasn't a problem, and I sort of bought my way out of it by paying for everyone's dinner each night, because we always order dinner. I was like, oh, I'll just pay for it. I made 50 bucks in the last hour. Sure, I'll put it on me. So no one ever took issue with it.
So it didn't bug them. It didn't bother them that you were doing it because they benefited.
Right. And so that was how I handled that. But, I mean, it did detract from the work performance. It no longer does. But it did briefly then. But I was aware of that, and I took measures to counter it, and then I ultimately eliminated it at the earliest possible opportunity. But it was important during that period that happened, because that's really what kick-started all of it. If I hadn't been available at those times, I wouldn't have become as popular as a seller.
Right.
And none of the other things that happened afterward would have happened. So... But would it have qualified as an addiction? I don't know. Maybe.
If it wasn't harming you, then it wasn't a bad addiction.
Yeah, it wasn't harming me.
But a lot of these things do harm people. Now, they talked to a psychologist here. His name is Dr. Mark Griffiths. He's the professor of behavioral addiction at Nottingham Trent University. And they spoke with him about this at Coindesk.com. He has theories. He can see how, theoretically, cryptocurrency trading can fit into the addiction framework. He did say, though, that actual cryptocurrency addiction is not something he's explicitly studied. And to his knowledge, it's not something that anyone has rigorously studied. He says, I've looked and there's not one single case study of somebody who's been treated for cryptocurrency addiction. He says, addictions are all about what we psychologists call reinforcements, and you might call rewards. You cannot be addicted to something unless you're constantly rewarded for it. You can't be addicted to something that only happens once a year, like St. Patrick's Day, and activities with higher event frequencies, like a slot machine where you can play 12 times a minute, can accelerate the problem. Since the price of crypto is constantly in flux...
That's curious. I wonder how regularly you have to be rewarded in order for it to be...
An addiction?
A possible addiction. In order for addiction to even be possible.
Every click, I would say at least once a day, maybe. You know?
That makes sense.
Because you got alcoholics, right? They drink every day. Every click of Bloxfolio brings the chance of another reward. Click after click after click. Let's look at the mechanism a little closer. The potential for addiction happens in a chunk of the brain called the dopaminergic system, explains Dr. Veit Stuphorn, a neurologist or neuroscientist at Johns Hopkins University. He studies how the brain behaves when we gamble. Quote, there are something like 100,000 neurons in the bottom of your brain distributed over a number of different small nuclei. When they get active, they sort of spritz out a little bit of dopamine. The key concept here is there's a baseline level of dopamine and a baseline level of expectations. When something happens that's better than you expected, you get more dopamine. If what happens is worse than you expected, you get less dopamine. Variations to the baseline matter. What does this have to do with crypto? Well, Veit says that in gambling or in crypto trading, quote, there are a lot of instances where you get a little boost of dopamine because it's uncertain. There's always some mismatch between what you expect and what really happens. This is why you wouldn't become addicted to a fixed annuity that paid you a locked percentage every week, even if the return was lucrative. No one gets addicted to treasury bills. But if the value of that asset seems to forever yo-yo and has the power to make you rich or destroy you, and you can check it every second, maybe you will.
Interesting. That's very excellently put by this psychologist.
You can experience this kind of price addiction, or maybe simply the itch, without dire consequences. Many traders feel it all the time. One crypto trader who has a day job at a prestigious, well-known financial institution, let's call him Brian, says the sheer returns of crypto...
They couldn't name him because they would have fired him.
Yeah. Make it hard to look away. Brian works with wealthy Fortune 500 executives all the time. He does this at his day job while he invests in crypto on the side. Quote, my $100 million clients are super happy if we can beat the market with a 15% year. They say, 15%? F yeah, you're the man. And when Brian hears this from the client, he thinks to himself, amused, in crypto I made 10% today. Brian feels like he's in control of the itch. He says, I'm not a very addictive person, and I don't need that dopamine hit. I don't need that high or low. Brian doesn't do social media and says checking crypto is his version of that particular vice. Some people sit on the toilet and they check social media. I check the markets. For other people, if there's a break in the conversation, they check Instagram. I check the markets, he says. Perhaps checking crypto prices is simply anti-social media. How often exactly does Brian check the price of crypto? He pauses and thinks, during his workday, when Binance is open all the time, he says, every 30 seconds.
Holy crap, dude.
And it's not entirely clear if he's joking. Then it's clear he's not. Quote, my job is to pay attention to the stock market all day long, he says. Literally all day, looking at markets, understanding why things are moving, and I'm also keeping track of the crypto world. Unquote. Brian views crypto as a net positive in his life. It's bringing him a level of financial security that even his cushy finance job doesn't provide. Yet he does see a subtle downside to the itch. Before crypto, he used to pride himself on rarely checking his phone. He liked being present in conversations. Now that's tougher. He says it does hurt who I am as a person and who I want to be. It hurts my mindfulness and my ability to be in the moment. Is he addicted? Brian wouldn't use that word, instead calling it a compulsion to check the market. It's definitely a fixation. Those are synonyms, by the way, that could very well mean addiction.
He's for sure addicted and in denial about it, and that's tragic.
But are we in denial about it?
Quite possible, man. I don't think so. Because we're not checking the markets every 30 seconds at any given point
that's true.
In our days.
Do you feel that you have a crypto addiction? So back to the original guy, the guy that was like awake all the time and what we first talked about, SBF, the author asks in point blank. Slight pause. He says, quote, I think what I would say is I more have a duty to my company and to my customers to do a good job. And to do that, I have to be responsive, and that means being always plugged in. Unquote. He does acknowledge this takes a toll on things like friendships, dating, and relationships because, quote, you don't have that much bandwidth, unquote. This is a
must be a lonely, lonely person.
I bet. This is a mindset shared by crypto trader Kevin Zhao, who I contacted for CoinDesk's piece on 15 ways to stay sane while trading crypto. He shrugs off the idea of work-life balance. Quote, to really excel at a craft, you literally have to be unhealthily obsessed with it, he says.
That's not true.
Because if you aren't, there's going to be some crazy person out there who is, and that person will often beat you. Unquote.
It's okay to not be the best.
Yeah.
you can be really, really good at something, and that's fine.
You can still be a success without being the best.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't have to be number one to do well in the race.
So
it's not a winner-takes-all kind of thing.
Anyway, it goes on. They interview other potential addicts in crypto, but I think we get the idea. For a true addiction, according to Dr. Griffiths, you've got to check six boxes. One, the activity is the single most important thing in the person's life, and he or she does it to the neglect of everything else. That's what I was saying, where there's other
crypto
things.
Crypto is automatically ruled out as an addiction for either of us, then, because we're both way more addicted to the ideas of freedom and liberty.
Sure. And this is just another tool to advance that. Two, they use it as a way to modify their mood. Three, so like drinking alcohol or whatever. Or you feel better when you're doing the thing that you want to do, that you're addicted to. Three, they grow a tolerance and need to do more of it to get the same initial high. Well, actually, I'm doing less crypto selling now than I've done in the last 4 years. I've been run out of enough banks. Basically, can't do it anymore. And it's okay. You know, I filled my life with all kinds of other things that I'm still too busy to watch a damn Netflix thing. Number three, they grow tolerance. Said that one. Four, they go through withdrawal if they can't do it. Irritability, anxiety, panic attacks. Those things do not happen to me. Five, conflict. This is the most important, says Griffiths. The activity is so important that it can cause conflict in your life and interfere with jobs and relationships. So if you lose your girlfriend, if you lose your job. And then finally, six, relapse. If you manage to give up the activity for 2 days, 2 weeks, or even 2 years, when you start engaging with it again, you're right back to the addiction. So if you don't meet those six, you're probably not that bad off.
But cryptocurrency aside, you know, you can get addicted to anything, including social media.
Get help.
Absolutely.
Get off.
Thanks for listening. Head on over to amp.freetalklive.com if you want to contribute to the show. Help us out. Get on more radio stations. This has been Free Talk Live.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy.
We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.